What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Henry Stanley Haskins. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B, coming at you live, as per usual, from the great state of Florida, home based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we are here, as always, on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m., bringing you your podcast for IT business support, where we share product stories and tips, all in an effort to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. Tonight, we continue on with the summer tech series. Our guest coming up just in a few minutes, Dawn Sizer from Third Element Consulting, and her dog Pilot might be joining us as well. I want to just go back and make sure that I let you guys know. I want to say thank you to the previous people that we've had on, Ben Filippelli from Level 5 Management and Kyle Kenyon, your pro tech guy. If you haven't heard those episodes yet, go back to podnutspro.com, find those episodes. Those are great introductory episodes for our summer tech series. We will continue on all summer long, all techs, every show. And we are piling up so much that we are going to actually have to introduce some matinee shows. That is right, folks. Matinee shows for your summer viewing and listening enjoyment. That is going to be fantastic. I also want to do a couple of other thank yous. I had some great help this past week. I do want to thank a person that Dawn recommended to me. His name is Travis from Fort Point Systems. He actually had a nice discussion with me. I have a little situation where I have a customer that we need to move them from their unmanaged Apple device management to a fully managed. So I needed to talk with somebody who had been a part of the Apple business program and understood all the nuances of running their iPads and stuff like that. So he was able to help me with that. I want to say thank you to Clark, who I helped a couple of weeks ago with a networking issue. I don't know if it was successful or not because I hadn't got back to him in about a week. The last time I spoke with him, he had found some issues but hadn't fully resolved it. But I do need to thank him anyway because he made a donation to Podnuts Pro. I want to say thank you for that. If you ever want to do that, just head over to podnutspro.com and check on the donate button, and you can do it by PayPal. You can buy me a cup of coffee, or you can become a patron on Patreon. So that is there as well. And then I want to say thank you to Robert. This was an interesting situation because we got a call at our office looking for a Robert that does not work here. And when we looked up the number, it was in a city that was close to a Robert that I know, listens to the show, has been to some of the conferences with us. And so I sent him an email and asked him if he had a client with this number and name. And he responded back, no. But he wanted to make sure that I knew that he was enjoying the podcast and wanted me to continue to do good work. And I'm not sure exactly how I feel about the fact that he said he loves when we go down the rabbit hole. So, Robert, I got your message. Thank you very much. And we will continue to try to do as best as we can to give you great tech information and great education on the show. And with that in mind, oh, you know what? I have to say one more thank you. I had several of you either email or message me giving me condolences, because as we were going off the air last week, my Florida State Seminoles, the women's softball team, they were in the championship game for the College World Series. It was the best of three. They won the first game, but lost the last two. So they were not champions in the College World Series. So I got some messages from a few people giving me condolences. Thank you very much. We'll get them next year. Thank you. All right, folks, let's go ahead and bring on our guest for today. You remember her from previous shows. And we're going to talk tools and tattoos. I'm talking about Dawn Sizer from Third Element Consulting. Dawn, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good. So there you are in the big room, the great room.
The great room, yes. Yes.
Got, that, back, got the big echo behind you.
Yeah. COVID hit. My husband and I share an office normally upstairs, nice little cozy area. And there we were having meetings and all kinds of stuff when COVID hit and talking over each other and generally talking about murder at the same time, because you know how it is when you got two people going or you're in the same meeting, which is even better. So you get the echo of one person, or they'll like be actually talking. You can hear them. Yep. Like in the room where you're mm-hmm. at. And then like 2 seconds later, you hear them in the speaker and it's like, it's maddening. So I moved out and here I am.
Isn't it usually the other way around? Don't you usually kick the guy out?
That's usually how it is, but it's kind of one of those where I don't think he had the heart to kick me out and I didn't have the heart to kick him out. So I was like, you know what? I'll just go downstairs. It's no big deal. We're not really using the space anyway. So here I am.
Okay. Well, it looks like a much more, I was going to say comfy space, but you've got room to spread out if you need to.
Yeah, there's probably another, 10 feet that I can spread out into. I haven't completely taken over the area yet, but yeah, the dog's got his bed here. I've got my desk, so we're all set.
All right. Well, so room for the tech bench when that comes in, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So Dawn, before we get started, it's time for that weather check. How are things up in the state of Pennsylvania?
They are not too bad today. So we had a high of about 75 today, beautiful sunny day. We had a little bit of air moving, so it wasn't that horrific, sticky weather that we tend to get up here. So it was actually a nice day.
All right. And we are in the midst of hurricane season, which doesn't mean there's hurricanes coming, but we are in our rainy season. So for the last 3 days, it has rained. I don't want to say almost nonstop, but it's rained so much that nobody wants to go out anywhere. So even though we did get a high of 84, it rained all day. So right now we're at 75 with a real feel of 77. And it rained so hard yesterday that our street flooded. And when I say our street, not the street I live on, but the street where our office is on, the big main business street, flooded. And it was fun to watch people driving really slow down our street.
Oh, I have no doubt. So are you like putting it in garbage bags and getting it ready to send to California? Is that how it works now?
Who needs it? Who needs it? Because we are going to have hurricanes galore and we are sending them, we're going to send them all up the coast again. I'm sorry, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi. They're coming.
Yeah, that's sad.
But wherever the rain needs to go, it doesn't need to be here. We couldn't even mow our lawn this weekend because it was raining. That's how bad it was. Well, let me rephrase that. So my nephew normally mows the lawn.
I was going to say, you don't actually do that, do you?
I started to mow the lawn, but then the wife volunteered to mow the lawn because I was working so much, and she's such a lovely person and spirit. And she said that she has the time, so she'll mow. And it's an electric mower, so it's not like it's, she's pushing this big, heavy gas power.
We have one of those at the office. They are amazing. I love it. Mm-hmm. You charge the battery, you throw the battery in, yep. You do the thing, and they're great.
Yep. So she did it for a while. And then when the nephew moved down here, well, my sister moved down with the nephews, and he wanted to come work, we started making him mow the lawn. So he comes and works at the office during the day on Saturday and then walks down the street to the house and mows the lawn. He graduated this past week. So
awesome.
He is now,
well, congratulations to him.
So his reward is to go spend, I think, 2 or 3 weeks with grandmama. And so we don't have him for the two or three weekends. So Kim started to mow the lawn and then it started raining. And we have not been able to mow since.
What could possibly go wrong with that scenario? I mean, it's nice, warm temperatures, lots of rain. I hear grass likes that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Grass is doing really good. So actually, she's more upset with the fact that it's interrupting her walking time as opposed to the mowing time. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and get our favorite segment out, which is in the news. So, Google, I don't know what they're trying to do here, but they just announced that they are going to open up Workspace to everyone with a Google account. So they explained that it created Workspace to make it easy for people to stay connected, get organized, and achieve more. And it seems that they realized a lot of normal users would also benefit from the easy multitasking that Workspace brings rather than only business users. So they are going to basically give away their open Workspace. And that'll be interesting. Don, you have a Twitter account?
I do.
So Twitter is going to be testing a unmentioned feature so that if you are involved in a conversation and it goes a little haywire, you can basically unmention yourself and leave the conversation. So they explain that sometimes you want to talk and sometimes you just don't. So it'll be like untagging yourself on Facebook. It's a one-time action where you can open the menu and tap unmention yourself from this conversation. And boom, you're gone.
So basically you just get to pull your chute and you're out. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they don't know if that's going to go, you know, public or not, but they are testing that now. And this is interesting. Federal authorities said that a network security company executive has made an initial court appearance on charges stemming from a 2018 cyber attack on a hospital in Georgia. Vikas Singla has been arraigned on 17 counts of intentional damage to a protected computer and one count of obtaining information from a protected computer. So Singla is 45 from Marietta, Georgia. He was the chief operating officer of Atlanta-based startup Securalytics, a network security company which served the healthcare industry. So he is accused in an attack on Gwinnett Medical Center that involved disrupting phone service and obtaining information from a digitizing service, along with disrupting network printer services. So he was released on an unsecured bond of $20,000 and is set to return to court on June 23rd. That is one to keep an eye on because it doesn't say why he did it.
Yeah, that seems a little odd.
Yeah. And I think that I'm going to go with this story. A Florida man is accused of paying $100 to a homeless man who slashed his girlfriend's face and allegedly placed a GPS tracker on her car and drove to a parking garage outside her job for the ambush. Then he visited her in the hospital. So Orlando police arrested Alexis Colon. Yes, that's what it says. In connection with the attack, after an identified assailant cut his girlfriend's face twice as she was getting out of her car. The victim later privately told police she had discovered a GPS tracker planted on her car 2 weeks before the attack, and there had been prior incidents of domestic violence in the home, both documented and undocumented. So the investigators tracked that vehicle down to a tow yard and found witnesses who led them to Colon. And the unidentified witness told officers that Colon was his drug dealer, whom he knew under the alias of Joker.
Well, that seems legit. I mean, I totally believe that part.
So, I can't read the rest of this. He paid a bum $100 to slash her face, and then he went to visit her in the hospital. Only Florida man, right?
Only Florida man.
And already a comment from the chat. Chris, basically, so this is probably in response to the Georgia story. about the hospital cyber attack. They should have paid their invoice, I guess. You know what? That's funny. There was another story when I first started doing the podcast. So back in 2016 or 2017, there was an MSP in Georgia. I believe the town was Cumming, Georgia, that got in trouble because he turned off a company's 365 account, disabled their email because they wanted to get out of a contract and go with another MSP. He changed their contract from 1 year to 3 year and must have done a poor job because either they had the original contract or they saw the whiteout on the contract that he produced. And that MSP had to shut down, and I don't know whatever happened to him. We should probably do a follow-up on that story.
Oh, he probably moved to Florida and paid a bum to cut his girlfriend's face. It seems to be about the same level there.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you're having trouble in your state, move to Florida. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, Don, tell us. It's been a while since we've had you on the show. And tell us what's been going on. What's been happening?
All the things. I don't know. There's a ton of things going on, I guess, in the world. I mean, we've been busy. COVID has done weird things to the industry. I mean, yep. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of movement, clients, you know, coming in, that kind of thing. We're not seeing churn, but we're seeing new clients coming in because they've been unsatisfied with some of the other things going on. There's been a lot of movement, even just within the industry itself. There's some new products coming out, which that's pretty exciting. I mean, we've added in some lines of business. We're doing AV, we're doing some security things. We're doing some things that we weren't doing previously. So, I mean, there's that. There's a lot of hiring going on. At least we're trying to hire. That's been fun. So
when you talk about customers being unhappy with their current provider, are we talking they didn't do a good job of transitioning them from on-prem to remote during COVID, or they're finding that, you know, this is a good time to kind of reevaluate what they're paying for and stuff? Is that the type of customer?
I think a lot of it is the reevaluation of what they're getting, how they're getting it, the things that they're talking about. A lot of what we're seeing coming in is some what they thought were MSPs were really like phone companies that transferred into an MSP, or the copier companies that became MSPs. And everybody's kind of like, you know, that it's not such a great model after all. And they want to go like straight MSP. So that's been interesting to kind of watch and see how that's shaking out. So that's most of what we're seeing right now.
Okay. Interesting.
We're seeing some results coming in from SEO work that we've done, which is interesting, which is always like, ooh, surprise, that actually works. Holy crap. So, I mean, yay for that. I mean, it's kind of interesting to watch the progression of any marketing that you do and actually be able to assign an ROI to it. So I think that's been exciting the last couple of months to watch that happen.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. I don't think I've asked you about this publicly, but in terms of your SEO, a lot of that has to do with content that you put out. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of work in the community, so you're on some boards, you go, you know, attend conferences and are speakers, but you also have a podcast that you've been doing, Rebel Executives. Yep. Have you seen a lot of, you know, traffic because of that?
I think there's some for sure. In fact, I just got contacted like 2 or 3 days ago. I need to contact her back. I've been a little busy from a TED Talk speaker. Oh. And she's like, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. I'm actually based in Singapore, left a review in Singapore. So I don't know if you're going to see it, but I'd love to be on. And her thing is the power of your own voice and the way that you talk and the words that you use and things along those lines. And I'm like, that's perfect. I'd love to have her on. So, nice. Hi, if you're watching, I need to contact you.
But she wasn't watching my show or listening to my show. She was listening to yours.
Well, maybe it's both. Maybe she's doing a little cyber stalking. If so, you know, you never know. But I think some of that's interesting. Created some really interesting connections. I mean, we met at a conference, which is kind of, you know, that type of thing. You start the whole connection process, and we've become friends over the last couple of years, and we've been on each other's podcasts and things along that line.
You're talking about me. You're back to talking about me now, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about you. So this is why 8 o'clock at night is like the best time for podcasts, because you're like so done from the day. Everything's kind of funny at this point. So, but no, I mean, we've had that, you know, relationship going on for the last couple of years now. And it's really nice to keep forging those relationships with people. They've been on, you know, your podcast, my podcast, whatever the situation is, but one, to have them on, to meet them. But the next thing is like, hey, I know you do this particular thing. I know this isn't what we were talking about on the podcast, but I know, you know, you run an MSP on the side. Can you talk to one of my clients? Absolutely, I can do that. No problem. Here's one of mine that needs to talk to you, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's been interesting too, seeing some of the synergy going with that particular podcast.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And I hope that maybe she'll get you on a TED Talk.
Yeah, that would be cool. So yeah, I mean, we see a little bit from that. We see a little bit from writing. I do a lot of writing, which I don't like to do, but you have to kind of do it. So the content for the SEO needs to happen. Anytime I'm on somebody else's podcast or I'm doing speaking or whatever, just hit the Women of the Channel thing not too awful long ago. So thank you, CRN. I appreciate that. So hit the top 60 most powerful women in the channel right now. So that's pretty wild to be on that list. So being able to capitalize on something that's very well publicized from CRN and be able to, you know, put that into the SEO for our own site is really helpful.
All right. So another question, I was talking with a good friend of mine earlier today who was out doing his own selling. He is, you know, the owner and president of the company. They don't have a salesperson, and he's got enough people where he probably could or should. He's got, I don't know, 18 people working for him, but yet he's the one that's out doing the selling and stuff. You're doing all of your own content and stuff. Are you still doing like the marketing and the selling and all of that stuff, or are you starting to hand that off?
I've started to hand off some of that. So we have an actual group that does the marketing, and then we have somebody in house that just kind of handles the social stuff day to day. So Heidi handles that. She's phenomenal.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, is she the one that answered the phone the other day?
She is.
She was funny.
She runs my life, man. She's awesome. Like,
she was like, who is this? I'm like, it's Uncle Marv. Oh, let me patch you right through. I'm like, she doesn't know me as Uncle Marv.
She does now.
Apparently.
All right. But yeah, she does all of that. I mean, we still do a lot of the sales ourselves. I mean, nobody can sell like the owner can sell. I mean, you have final say over everything. So yeah, we could hire a salesman too, as far as that goes. But it's just, I don't know. It's never as clean. It's never as good. It doesn't leave quite the impression that it does when the owner does it.
Right.
Good, bad, otherwise.
Okay. All right. Anything else happening?
I wish I could say there was all kinds of crazy stuff happening, but the truth of the matter is like you're kind of slogging through day to day right now trying to. I mean, we're just trying to, some days it's tread water and not drown in everything that's going on. I mean, I know you're in the same boat. I mean, there's tons of stuff going on all the time.
Well, it's a weird time because now, especially down here, even though the rest of the country has basically said COVID is over, Florida is kind of mixed. We have a lot of places that are still shut down in the sense that, you know, capacity is only at 50%. You still got to wear your mask everywhere. You know, even if you're vaccinated, you know, you still have to wear the mask, even though they're trying to say, you know, if you can prove that you're vaccinated, you don't have to. But a lot of businesses are still saying, look, we've got to protect not just our employees, but we have to protect, you know, our patrons, you know, people that are coming into the business, and we have to make sure that we are not, you know, infecting them as they come in. So we've got a lot of places, I would say probably half of my customers are still not back in the office 100%.
I would say that's probably the same for us as well. We've got more people coming back now. We have some that are trickling back slowly. Pennsylvania is a little bit different in that, I mean, I don't know if you've watched the news or not, but supposedly we're one of the better states that have handled vaccinations and so on and so forth. And so that said, I mean, like, we can go to a ball game, we can go to places and not wear masks, and we can do those things right now because I think it's like 70% of our state population is either vaccinated or, you know, the whole way through, or it might even be more at this point. So we have that going for us, which is nice. But I mean, it is what it is. I think this is going to linger for a while.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get the memorial portion of the show done. The show was originally supposed to have another person with us, and she's a little bummed because we're going to probably talk tattoos and she can't be here. So we'll just give a quick moment of silence for Nancy as the train goes by.
Sorry. If it's not the dog, it's the train. What's really funny is like the train is 3 miles away, but I live on this side of a mountain, so it kind of like filters right up through.
No. Well, so from here, there's a train basically on the other side of the street, but it's not as loud.
No, it's not. We have one by our office too. Same kind of thing. It's like literally the next street is where the train is, and it's not nearly as loud as it is here.
All right. So as we mentioned tattoos, if I remember correctly, you were going to either add to an existing one or get a new one.
I was going to get a new one. And as you can see, I still do not have it.
No.
So COVID is wrecking plans for that sort of thing right now. And that's okay. I'm good to wait. So.
Okay. Well, funny you should say that because our neighbor, the tattoo place.
Yeah.
Waiting for the train horn.
Sorry.
So the tattoo place next door never officially opened.
Really?
Nope, they did not. Now, part of it is that the owner's a schmuck and is not a very good business person and was a little too ambitious with some things. So when Florida shut down, you know, the tattoo parlors and all, you know, that sort of stuff, he thought, well, I will become a tattoo school. And he thought that he would, you know, bring in students and teach people how to do tattoos and all this stuff. Well, the city said, well, you still have to handle, you know, equipment and deal with blood and all of that stuff. And you have to, you know, change the kitchen and the sinks. And so there was extra money to be involved that he never did. So that didn't happen. So then he started leasing out the space, which he's not allowed to do.
He was going to say that's going to go poorly. So Florida man decides.
So he started trying to do photo shoots, which the space was actually a photo studio. When the current landlord purchased the building, they are a photography shop.
Was a leather couch involved?
Well, not with the original landlord, but with the person that we have termed the squatter.
Okay.
He would come in and he basically did shootings at night, some with clothes, some without.
Mm-hmm.
There was couches, there was beds, there was even a 10 bathtub with a water hose, if you get what I mean.
Oh, man.
So we did everything we could to make sure that the landlord knew that, you know, we weren't very appreciative of what was happening over there. They would actually, whenever they would have the photo shoots, their parking lot isn't as big as ours. So if they had overflow people, they would end up in our parking lot. And we are completely separate in our businesses. So nobody should ever park on our side. So every time we would complain, like, you can't park there unless you talk to us or you pay us. So between that and some other stuff, and, you know, they broke a bunch of stuff and locked the landlord out of the building. So.
Oh yeah. They like that. Yeah.
She was ready to see them go. So we are now officially July 1st, taking over the rest of our side of the building.
Nice. Congratulations. That's exciting.
Yep. So it's a little more money that I have to worry about now, where it's going to come from. And
it's fine. You're just going to charge extra to take care of those iPads. It's fine.
Yeah. $10 an iPad now. So between that and getting some extra clients, and, you know, it's now that we're opening up, we can get back out and network and stuff. So I'm not too worried about that. The space is such that we can do little meetups and, you know, lunch and learns and stuff like that. So there'll be a lot of things we can do with that space, and it gives us room to expand and all of that. So it should be good.
Yeah. Awesome. Now I definitely want to come to Florida. I need to see the new space.
You got to get down here. Get down here. All right. And no tattoos.
Not yet.
On me. Ever.
Oh, come on.
No. You know what? Listen, I tell you the same thing I've told everybody. I did all my crazy things until I hit 40. And once I hit 40, everything stopped. Pulled the earring out. Started taking care of the hair. Stopped exercising.
You and me both.
All of that. All right. So let's transition now. So tools and tattoos. So we've covered the tattoos, I think.
We did.
How do we want to talk about tools?
We can start with whatever. It doesn't matter to me.
All right. So you kind of mentioned something about talking about the evolution of tools. And are we meaning like the tools from when we first started in our businesses to what we use now?
Sure. I made a huge list because there was no way I was going to look, I'm sticking to the outline. This is like the first time ever.
Okay. A list. Let me get a pen. All right. Well, let's just go right down your list.
All right. So let's start with tickets, right? Because we all, for the most part, if you're an MSP, you're going to live and die in ticket land in some way, shape, or form. So like everybody else, we started out with email, right? Clients emailed you, you got an email, you worked through whatever the issue was, and then you deleted out the email, never to think about it again. And then when suddenly you had more people working on that type of thing, you needed to have a way to at least keep them centrally managed. So if you needed to search on them or take a look at them or whatever the resolution was, we needed something to do that with. So Zendesk.
Now, let's go back. When you were working with just the email.
Yeah.
And you know, I may date you with this. Were you using Outlook at the time, or was this even before then with Outlook Express or some other mail program?
So that's a totally legit question. And at the time it was still Outlook. So this was, I'm talking about my business. So this is 2006, 2005 era. So it's not, we're not back in the stone ages quite there. So yeah, it was still Outlook. So you had the ability to do, you know, share contacts and things along that line. It wasn't like completely terrible. But yeah, we went to Zendesk after that, which is actually a really good customer service kind of thing. You could do searches, you could do, you know, checking what somebody else had put in. If you had a little bit of knowledge base information in there, you could do that with Zendesk. So not great, but it worked out pretty well. The clients liked it. They liked to be able to see the, you know, the little log of things that happened. And then we got a little bit larger. And that wasn't working so well anymore. And then we decided ConnectWise would be the best thing ever. And that lasted not very long.
Really? Wow.
So.
Okay. So now let me stop you, because let's talk about the transition, because part of the struggle that I think a lot of companies go through is how do you make the jumps and how do you make the transitions? How do you evaluate what's going to be your next product? So I understand going from, you know, Outlook as managing your tasks and tickets to something like a Zendesk, that sounds pretty fair, but going from Zendesk to ConnectWise.
Yeah, that was such a bad idea.
How was that process?
It was horrific. Like there's no
I'm not talking about the outcome. I'm talking about what made you think that ConnectWise was the next step for you.
So you know, everything starts at a conference, right? So,
okay.
You get enough alcohol and it sounds like it's the best thing ever. No. So we knew we were at that point of growth where we needed some new tools. You know, you reach a certain point and you're like, you know what, this is ridiculous. There's all kinds of things going on. We're having trouble tracking things. We're having trouble. We don't have the CRM PSA kind of thing going on. I mean, we did, but that's like a whole other tool set. And we'll talk about that in a minute. We didn't have anything that was completely centralized. And we had a reach out from ConnectWise. They're like, hey, come to IT Nation. That's when they still called it IT Nation. And, you know, we'll host you in. You can see what this looks like, you know. And we looked at it and went, yeah, that seems like a fantastic idea, because we weren't in like the know at the time. Now, granted, this is 4 or 5 years ago. To kind of give you an idea of where we were at. We were not doing the conference scene. We were a little MSP out of nowhere. We have literally tripled in size since then and then some. So that's how far we've come in just a couple of years. And then we had, you know, this long ramp up to that point. But figuring out like where and at what point you need to actually say, you know what, we've become the big kids now and we need to get a tool set. You're right. There's absolutely a tipping point for that. And it's not money. It's maturity level. As far as the MSP goes, I realize, yes, I need a CRM. Yes, I need a PSA. I have so many devices that we can't control them properly. And once you get to that point, that's the tipping point of, yes, I need a tool set.
All right. So, now, did you buy ConnectWise? Let's take a step back, because we're talking about a ticketing system. So we're not talking about how you are supporting your client, not your RMM or remote access.
This is just
ticketing.
This is just ticketing. So yeah, so we decided ConnectWise, that would be fantastic. So we'll get tickets working. Yeah. Okay.
All right. And how many techs?
At the time, I think we were 4.
Okay.
So not a huge amount. No big deal, right? So it takes forever to get ConnectWise configured properly, especially if you're doing it yourselves. And I can tell you from my perspective that something that takes you maybe a day and a half to like get completely work all the bugs out through and ConnectWise takes about 10 minutes and something else. So the amount of time that you spend on your tools is also really, really important. So if you know you're going to spend and sink a lot of time into it, either decide whether your time is worth to do that, whether you're going to pay somebody else to do it, or whether you're better off with another tool set.
Okay. So I had heard that people would say in that, you know, you needed to dedicate a person. Now, are we talking really just the setup and configuration or just the daily management?
Daily management, it just takes longer to do everything in ConnectWise. And you need a higher end tech to do a lot, especially the RMM stuff. I mean, there, you just need somebody that's going to cost you more money, has to sit and configure a lot of that, as opposed to standard service desk guys can do a lot of it in some of the other tools.
Which defeats the purpose of getting that type of tool.
Right.
I mean, if your highest costing employee is doing that, that sucks.
Right. So not only is it costing you a lot in the tools, it's costing you a lot from the labor perspective. It's costing you a lot in downtime. It's costing a lot. So that was not our best experience. I can tell you that absolutely.
All right.
Other people have had really good experiences with it, but that was not ours.
Okay. I was going to say, was there anything that we could give it, you know, a fair shake by saying it did this thing really well that we liked? Is anything of that, or was it just torture?
So for those of you who are Reddit fans, I mean, just hop into the MSP forum anytime and take a look at the things about ConnectWise. I think that'll.
Okay. Sidestep. Wow, a little Texas two-step. Okay.
Well, I mean, to give you an idea, when I signed the very last, like, we are done paper, we celebrated. I still have it, like, framed on my desk, like, we are done.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so that didn't go so well. Then what did you move to next?
So we looked at Datto's Autotask after that, and We are still using Datto's AutoTask, really like it. Everybody in the company likes it. It's the ease of use is much better for us. And again, this is us personally. We happen to like it. It works well. Again, the fact that my service desk people can go in, sit down, figure something out in a couple of minutes, as opposed to my higher end engineers have to sit down and actually do a lot of the work. It's just, there's no way I can even put a number on that, because it happens so often that, oh, hey, I need to tweak this little thing, or I want to change the dashboard, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And you're like, yep, go ahead. And they can do it in just a couple of minutes. It's done. No problem. There's no drama. There's no nothing. I don't have to watch a 3-hour class to figure out how to do it. I don't have to wait till like the next quarter when they're doing IT Evolve or whatever it is that ConnectWise does now, where they, you know, bring you in on site and they teach you how to do something. I know I went to one of the marketing things, and I sat there for 3 hours to figure out just how to send out an email through their marketing portal.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, so the types of things that they would tweak, I mean, my first thought is there really shouldn't be too much tweaking in terms of the integral part of the programs. But so are you talking about being able to change fields and how you input information, or tweaking reports? Or
a lot of it is... with ConnectWise, you might use BrightGauge so that you can see like a dashboard type of view, how many tickets you have open, here's the type of ticket that it is, here's how many hours were spent, where your SLA is, that kind of thing. That's integrated directly into Datto. You don't need a separate program to do that. So they might go in and say, you know what, it would be really helpful if we're able to see this particular metric. Do you mind if we add it to the dashboard? Nope, go ahead, do that. Click, 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 done.
Okay, and that's all stuff that you can do, and you don't have to actually have somebody at Datto do for you.
Yeah, super easy.
All right, that's nice.
It is really nice. So pretty pleased with that. So that's where we've come from email, and now we have evolved all the way out to AutoTask from Datto.
Okay. Now, you say that, you know, now we're using this and we're still using it. You made it almost sound as though you might be still looking. Is there a component or feature that you're missing that you are waiting for them to integrate for you, bring in, or is there something missing that you think somebody else might have?
No, that's a fantastic question though, because I think one of the things that you have to do as an MSP or any business owner is that constant look at your tool set, right? So you're looking at it, does it address these particular things that we care about? Is there something else that we need to take a look at? Oh, there's a new thing that's out on the market. Should we go take a look at that? Yes, absolutely. Does it compare to what we already have? Do I like it better? No, I'm good with what I've got. So yes and no. I mean, we're always looking. I think you always have to continually evaluate every tool that you use. There's nothing wrong with that, but we're really content with what we have right now.
Okay. Now, in terms of the actual ticketing process from start to finish, how do your customers submit tickets to you? Is it only an email portal, or do they have the little thingy on their desktop that they can click and submit a ticket?
Yep, they have the portal, so they can go to website portal, they can use email, they can use we actually have a little icon that lives down in their little taskbar next to their clock. We have one on their desktop if they have it there. So any one of those ways, they can submit a ticket and they can start it that way. Or if they want, they can call Heidi and say, hi, Heidi, we have a problem. This is my scenario. And she'll create the ticket for them.
Okay. Because some places don't allow people to call in tickets.
Yep. We allow people to call in. We actually have it so that every time that somebody calls in, we have a real person that picks up the phone, as you experienced, and they get them to the right person. So,
all right. Now, in terms of the ticketing flow, once that ticket is created, do you have things built in to where if a ticket, if it's not something where it's a one and done phone call type thing, do you have... I don't even know what I'm calling them. So, if for some reason a ticket has to be escalated, is there continual communication with the customer? Hey, we've looked at your ticket. We're not able to resolve it for, right this minute. It's going to be escalated, or we have to do this much more research. We'll get back to you. What is that process like?
We do. So there's things inside of Datto called workflows that you can have set up. And same kind of thing. Hey, I want to build a workflow. This is how I think it should work. You build it, done. So yeah, you can assign different things and make it do different things automatically through these workflows. So once the workflow is set up, you can have it escalate. You can have it move to a different person. You can have it send them a message. You can do all kinds of, pretty much if you can think it up, you can make it do that.
All right. And then lastly, it's somebody responsible for watching the tickets.
Yes. Yes, they are. So we've just promoted one of our service desk folks to service manager, and he's very excited for that. So Peter, who has been with us for a couple of years, is now our service manager, and he's the one that's responsible for that. So yeah, he watches the SLAs, he watches the tickets themselves, how loaded down the other techs are, you know, where things are in the queue at any given time, making sure that the tickets get the right amount of touches to them. Because we have our SOP is that every ticket starts and ends with a phone call. So if a ticket is submitted, we pick up the phone, we call the client, we talk to them. If we can't get a hold of them, obviously we're going to send them an email. But if nothing else, we do try that first reach out with a human touch.
All right. What made that decision?
People like it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the simple, easy version of it. They like it better.
I'm not complaining. I like that too. That's why. But I experience so many support issues where even if I'm dealing with support, it's all email. Or I have some customers that they only want to talk by email. And I'm like, no, I got to talk to you because your email doesn't explain
exactly the
problem correctly.
And I think over the years, you have good techs, you have bad techs as you're hiring and terminating and doing whatever you need to do. And what we have found is that the really good ones, they tend to pick up the phone. And the ones that they're just there, they're doing the job, or they've been on service desk or, you know, help desk or whatever you want to call it for a long time, they're the first ones that want to use the chat. They want to use the email just to get the ticket off the queue or into a different queue or whatever, so that yes, I've touched it, but all I had to do was send an email. And that's really not, it's not the job. At the end of the day, everybody thinks that tech is all about the stuff and how to make things work better. But the truth of the matter is that IT and tech itself is always about making somebody else be okay. They have a problem. I need to make them okay first. Then I can fix the problem. And if you can do that, you'll be a very successful MSP. Because your clients need to know that you're taking care of them first and foremost.
There you go. Very good. I think that's so the wife always has to remind me that one of the reasons that we've had our customers for as long as we've had them, and a lot of them just, you know, they may have looked at leaving, but then they realize, you know, why leave when we have such a good thing, is because we talk to them. And I try to do a very good job of explaining why it is I'm doing something. You know, if we had something that failed, tell them why. You know, don't try to hide behind, you know, an email or, you know, send them to a manufacturer's website. Here's your reason. So by talking to them, it's a very powerful tool. So do you actually, and I'm transitioning this into how you hire your techs, because you're talking about you're looking at hiring still. So is that one of the things that you look for when you're hiring a tech, is can they speak to people?
Yeah. I mean, when we bring them in for in-person interviews, I mean, like one of the questions is ring, ring, you know, client has a problem. Let's role play this through. Let's see what this sounds like. Let's see how you do. And yeah, I mean, that is something that you want to look at. I mean, you're looking at soft skills, you're looking at technical skills, but how they speak to you, how relaxed they are, the language that they're using to speak to the customer at that point is really important, because if they can't tone it down to that eighth grade level, you're going to have trouble. And they have to be patient and go slow. And a lot of people, as they get nervous, they speed up how they speak and they start talking faster and faster and faster. Either they're really excited about the technology, or they know the answer. So to impress the client, they do it, and they do it really fast. And all that does is frustrate the client and make them so that they're not okay at that point.
Yep.
And there you are. So yeah, having people that are calm under pressure, because a lot of times you get people that are frustrated on the phone. So as long as they're calm, they're able to talk through a scenario and do it in a slow enough way that people understand it, grasp the idea. And even if they don't understand it 100%, at least they feel better about the situation knowing that somebody else can talk them through it.
All right. Okay, beautiful. So is that the full evolution of your ticketing system?
Ticketing, yes, but the rest of it, all hell no. So
then let's move on. Okay. What's next?
So let's talk about CRMs and PSAs, because it's kind of like where you store all the data about mm-hmm. the clients.
Yep.
And that's going to be the next thing. Now, obviously, we started out with Outlook in the last conversation, and that's kind of where it's kind of where you start here too. So we started with, you know, Outlooks with our shared contacts. We all had, you know, the availability to share out the contact book, the address book. And then we moved into something called Solve 360 at the time. It's now called Solve CRM. And that worked out pretty well. I am a big believer in that I want to use one product for things. And if I have to use five, I'm not going to use it. So I kind of lump myself into the user category with that kind of thing, but I want things to be easy. I want things to be in one place. So having a CRM or a PSA to be able to do that, whatever your scenario is, I think is really important as a line of business application. So Solve CRM was the next evolution after that. Then of course, ConnectWise, and now it's Autotask.
All right. And I'm assuming it's the same evolution when you can. Now here's the thing. So what are you doing specifically with your CRM and PSA in terms of, you know, the contacts that you're doing, how, you know, what information you're storing and what are you doing with that information?
So we're not doing a ton with it right now. We have, we use it for basically emailing, contacting clients, that kind of thing. I'm not doing marketing.
Okay, that's what I meant. Are you sending out, you know, daily or weekly or monthly emails? Are you using it as part of your content management? That you said no to marketing, right?
No to marketing. So that we can kind of keep that a little bit separate. Now, what we end up doing is all of our, as we onboard a new client in, everybody gets entered into our PSA. So we have all of their information, and that's everything from, you know, their names, their work numbers. If they have a cell number, we have that captured as well. So it's a way to get a hold of them. And that's this is how we're going to service you. Information is in the PSA. Email addresses will get ported out of Autotask at that point, and then we use MailChimp for our newsletters and things along those lines. I prefer people to opt in to that, so I'm not just adding them blindly, and most of them do. As we do the onboarding, we typically ask people, is it okay if we add you to our newsletter list? If they say no, not a problem. We just don't do it. So we'll add them into there. And then we also have a secondary list from the regular newsletter list that goes out weekly. And that's our training, because we do offer training once a week on Fridays at 11. Catch me there. But other than that, I mean, we do everything from, you know, Teams and Office 365 stuff inside of there. This month, we actually focused on social media. So showed people how to build up their LinkedIn profile, their business LinkedIn. We're using Buffer, you know, those kinds of things to actually show people how to build their business a little bit using technology.
Okay. Are you using that for any sort of tagging groups of clients? So, you know, clients in either a particular industry or clients using a particular software, do you tag them inside of the CRM so that if there's, say, for instance, a, you know, update that breaks a particular package, you know which clients that's going to affect?
Yeah. I mean, some of that we know intrinsically, just because the line of business applications through our niche markets are pretty darn significant.
Right.
As far as that goes. In MailChimp itself, now we use a lot of tagging inside of there as well. I want to know who's a prospect, who's a client, who's a decision maker. I want to know all of that kind of thing in the actual, I'm going to call it CRM for MailChimp as far as that goes. So on my marketing side, there's a lot of things that I want to know that aren't necessarily line of business information. I want to know who do I want to contact? What's important about them? Are they looking to make a decision? You know, that kind of thing.
All right. But what about the post side of it? So clients that you've had them for 10 years, you know, do you keep things like birthdays, anniversaries, you know, any of that type of information in there as well?
Some of them I do. A couple of my like longest clients, it's really kind of funny how life works. One of them shares a birthday with my son. So I know that one like right off the top of my head. Right. Like my two favorite people are on that day. So there's some overlap that just kind of happened naturally. But yeah, we do keep some of that in there as well, because it is important to know. And one of those like, hey, happy birthday. This, I know this is going on, or I know this is, you know, your 10th year at, you know, this office or whatever the case is. So yeah, we do keep that information.
All right. So CRM, PSA. So that was actually a little short trip.
It was a short trip. So the RMM is actually longer. So
all right.
Much longer.
Let's get to it.
So I think everybody starts out, again, we're going from, you know, bare minimums here. They start out with remote desktop, right? RDP. Simple stuff, right?
Were you running it naked?
Of course. I mean, it was 2006. That's how you did it. And then you move into things like VNC, where the client can actually start the process. Like, hey, I need some help. Okay, great. Just click on the icon that's on your desktop. That'll connect back to me, and away we go, and I can share screens with you. So that worked out pretty well.
Well, I got really fancy. I used real VNC.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, some of us. Us poor folk, we just use VNC. We had some monitoring tools going on at that time as well. We were using a product called Nagios, and it was an open source tool that did tons of monitoring. Now, things that I think is worth mentioning here, and we mentioned it earlier, is that you tend to sink a lot of your time into some of the open tools.
Yes.
And in some of the tools that you pay for, you are exchanging money for time that you get back to do other things, which you can then resell for more money. So always when you're looking at tools, figure out how much time you're going to spend on the tool itself and figure that in, because you can sell, this is going to sound so bad, you can sell yourself so much easier than you can the time for the tool. So just be sure that, you know, the pricing is correct for your situation and make sure that you figure that in.
Okay.
And then we found Screen Connect, and that worked out really well for a while. And we actually did a hosted Screen Connect for ourselves. And later on, we found out that, ConnectWise used Screen Connect as well, which was kind of funny, which is one of the ways that...
So, guilty by association?
It's how they got us, man. It's how they got... It's how it happened. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how that scenario fell into place. But Screen Connect is a really nice tool at the time. It was one of the only things that did a lot of what you could do with it at the time. So there was the, you know, the two-way street on, I can see your desktop and we can actually switch and you can see mine and I can use my mouse on yours and, you know, that kind of thing. So there was not a lot of that going on back in 2010, 2012, that kind of thing. But Screen Connect was available to use. It might have been just a little bit after that. But anywho, that's what we were using. And then ConnectWise Automate came into play. And we started using the RMM, which honestly was broken more often than not. We found out a lot of the updates, like it would trip. I think Adobe was probably one of the worst ones. Like it would push down an update to Adobe, it would break Adobe, and then we'd have to reinstall it. And it was just over and over and over again. And the amount of time that eats out of your tech's day costs you money, effort, energy, and frustration on everybody's part, honestly. So that needed to end. So we ended up paying for ConnectWise for almost a year, not using it to get away from it. And we actually saved time and money to do that, still paying for AutoTask on top of that. Mm. To give you an idea of where the break even was for us, it was astronomical.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So I did not hear go to assist.
Nope.
which is what I started with when I upgraded from Naked RDP. And then, of course, I didn't use it myself, but I would sell to the clients where I had juniors on site. I had my tools that I wouldn't give them access to, so we gave them LogMeIn Central.
Yeah, we never used LogMeIn either, which, like I said, with Screen Connect, we didn't need the LogMeIn part of it.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people use BombGuard over the last couple of years too, and that's another good product that's out there. It's, like I said, it's just a matter of, you know, what works, what doesn't for you particularly. But like I said, right now we have Datto as our RMM, and they use Splashtop integrated into there, which, you know, Splashtop is another evolution of tool sets as far as that goes for, you know, connecting screen to screen. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're still going to go, but I want to kind of bring this little together. It seems like all three of these now have ended up in the same family with the Datto RMM, the Datto Autotask and stuff. Or have you found life to be easier moving to a single vendor for at least these three? I don't.
We have. Now, that said, I get nervous anytime you put all of your toys in one bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a huge fan of the single ecosystem for a lot of different reasons. One, from seeing what I saw from the ConnectWise side of things, they started buying things and integrating them into their platform. And then it was just, okay, well, we'll just bolt this thing on and that'll cost you X amount. We're going to bolt that thing on and it'll cost X amount more and more and more and more until you have this giant bundle that none of it really, I mean, it works, but it's kind of clunky and you pay a lot of money for it. So I get nervous when that kind of thing happens. And again, I'm not saying good, bad, or otherwise. A lot of people it works perfectly for. I'm just not a huge fan of it. I worry that Datto will go the same way and they start bolting things on left, right, and sideways. And now it just costs a ton of money. And to stay in that ecosystem, you have to use the product that they have chosen
right.
and not the one that I have chosen that I like.
Or that works vendor. That works best for you and your clients.
Exactly. So that's a fear that I think every MSP owner should have as far as that goes. Like I said, for some people, I know that works completely fine and they're good with that. And by all means, more power to you. I'm just not, I get a little weird about that.
Okay.
We all have our thing, right?
Yeah. So we did talk about, you know, making the jump and what's the tipping point for, you know, when we started talking about the tickets. Do you find it the same for all of these other areas where there comes a tipping point where you say, you know, I've got to make the change? And is it more out of frustration or more out of exploration that you made some of the other changes?
Honestly, I think it's time. A lot of it is time, because as soon as you start getting up into that 500, 600, 1,000 endpoints, you only have so many hours in the day. And they're crying, right? I have, you know, 7 of them crying over here and 10 of them crying over there. I'm only one person. How many things can I possibly do in a day? So to be able to have something that one creates a ticket, if something is crying, I can see it, I can clear it, I can do whatever I need to do with it, I can reboot it. You know, I have workflows that do certain things, reassign them in different places, or, oh, I see, you know, workstation XYZ has created a ticket because it's got some bad spots in a hard drive. Great. I can, you know, pull that ticket, send it over to the client, say, hey, this is what's going on. The hard drive's probably failing. Should I order a new one? Great. Fine. Up into pre-sale and away it goes. So I think there's time, effort, and energy that you end up saving in some of that, as opposed to, all right, now I have to take all my logs and I need to look at them and I need to do this. Now I'm 4 more hours into something that would have only taken me 20 minutes.
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of, you know, how many endpoints do you really have? How much time do your techs have? How much time are they actually spending that's not generating income?
Now, have you come up with a magic formula for load management?
No, I got nothing there. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there is one. We don't have, you know, a specific, like, you know, X people for X number of endpoints times, you know, 3 times Sunday. I don't know that there's something that's very specific. I'm sure there is somewhere, We don't do that. I think we look more at, here's the amount of day that's used per tech. And we take a look at, you know, what their efficiency level is. Are they billing, you know, applying 6.5 hours per 8 hour day into their job? If they are, then they're at peak capacity. If they're not, there's some other things that they could be doing. And if they all are at that point, obviously we need to hire more people. So I think we look at capacity and efficiency more than anything else. And that's something that we're able to do using the tools in Datto.
All right. Now, since you mentioned that, because I'm actually changing a little bit of my billing based on that model, as opposed to, you know, X dollars per endpoint and X number of endpoints per tech, because I'm looking at what is the actual amount of hours that I'm spending supporting this client. Mm-hmm. Is it 1 hour a week? Is it 1 hour a day? So that I have the cost for all of my tools is one amount. And then I'm going to add to that the number of hours per month. And I bill that separately and I make it a separate line item. Now, I don't know if it's going to work now, but right now it seems to be a very good formula, because I've got one client, you know, that I can say, look, your load is 20 hours a month. I'm talking to you guys every day for at least half an hour. And then we still got to allocate time to, you know, monitor your stations, check your AV, do this, you know. So it's, you know, it's an hour a day that you're eating out of my time. So you're getting billed 20 hours a month for remote support on top of what it costs to put the tools in your system. So go ahead.
So we do it a little differently, and everybody does. We look at it from the standpoint of, yes, the machines do send us tickets, but the only people that I need to really support are the actual physical people. So we charge by people, not by endpoint. We don't charge by hour. We just kind of figure out how much time that we end up spending per person kind of thing per month. And that's what we come up with.
All right. So it's kind of a blend.
It is kind of a blend. It has worked out pretty well for us. And then we charge by full-time and part-time employee. We have a different charge for each one of those, because we find that they're only there part-time. They can only contact you half the time kind of thing. So, So we do account for that as well.
All right. So in your billing system, and I guess we'll have to tackle this either after the show or turn it into a separate show. So when you tie all of these tools together and integrate them into your billing, do you have the metrics built in terms of when you send a report to the customer where, you know, this month's billing is, you know, you used X number of hours against X number of hours that we have allocated towards you? Do you do anything like that? Or is it just, here's your fee, boom?
It's just the fee. Yeah. Okay. And somebody had asked, like, what do we charge per person? And like, we charge 90. That's what we charge for a full timer. Now that is not, with all of the extra stuff. So we are very transparent in how we bill. So we charge for a person, and then we charge for extraneous software. So let's say they have, you know, an MDR solution, or they have 365, or they have some other bolt-ons. So we do charge separately for those so that it is transparent and they can see what they're buying.
So when you say 90 per person, it's 90 per user at the client?
Yep.
Okay. And then their extra charges. Now that 90, that includes the cost of your tools is what you're saying, right?
It does. Yep.
Ah, okay.
Yep. So I don't want to say that we eat that cost, but it's included in the cost of supporting that client.
Well, I mean, there's got to be a spreadsheet or a metric somewhere where you know how much is allocated towards tools, how much is allocated towards tech.
Right.
With a buffer, which is one reason why I wanted to separate those out and not charge them per person or per device. You know, the tools are the tools, whether you have, you know, 20 or 50 or 100, and then the hours. And basically what it is, it's an hourly rate that is discounted severely. So my discounted is 95 if you fall under that contract. So they may have you know, $300 in tool cost. And then say, for instance, I have that one customer I'm charging 20 hours at $95 plus the $300 for their tools.
Right. And to get back to John's question, I mean, everybody charges differently. And some people do that, you know, at $225, we're all in, or at $200, we're all in, or at $150, we're all in, or whatever it is they're charging in their neck of the woods. That's how they do it. We've just found that it works out to be transparent with the client.
That's good. And of course, yeah. So, and I separate out 365 charges. I separate out backup charges. And I separate out, with TrueGrid, we started reselling that. So that's a separate charge as well. So just so that people know that, you know, the support is one cost and everything else is another. So if you're, you know, if you're buying your 365 from us, that's not a part of the monthly cost, which a lot of techs, a lot of MSPs are trying to roll that in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and say, you know, we're going to charge you $25 per mailbox. You know, whatever works in your neck of the woods.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen people do some really weird things, and weird to me. I'm sure it's not weird to them. Everybody is somebody else's weirdo. So it just boils down to, if that works for you, by all means, cool.
All right. So were those the three main categories that you wanted to tackle tonight?
I mean, I had some other stuff. But it's just a lot of, like, you know, generic kind of things. I mean, we talked, Dave and I had talked ahead of time, which is my husband, who we work together. We talked a little bit about accounting software. Like, we started out in QuickBooks on-prem. We went to another thing called Xero, because supposedly it integrated properly into ConnectWise. It didn't. so do you see the, yeah. So anyway, you had to buy yet another service to bolt that together so that Anywho. And then we went to QuickBooks Online, which integrates perfectly into Autotask. Payroll. Everybody deals with payroll, right?
Not so everybody.
Okay. Maybe not you.
Some people farm it out completely.
Some people do. That's true. I always forget that that's a thing. We deal with payroll. So we have people that work for us, so we have to pay them. They don't want to just get paid in pizza. I don't know why. So we started out with Paychex, which is a national group. Mm-hmm. They were awful. And then we went to a local group. They were very surprised when I wanted them to actually pay our taxes. So yeah, they didn't pay our payroll taxes. That was fun. 2 years later, I was still dealing with that.
Ouch.
Yeah, I was not happy. And then after that, we went to a cloud-based system, which was Gusto. And I love that system. Like, love it. Happy, happy, happy with that. So if anybody would like to take that for a trial run, hit me up. I'll get you a code, get you $100 off, gets me $100 off, and we all walk away happy.
All right.
So that's the deal with that. We recently put in a thing called TimeZest, which allows our technicians to basically send a link out to our clients that says, hey, if you want to just schedule some time to get this taken care of, you can use this link, schedule it in. It looks kind of like Calendly, but it integrates directly into the ticketing system, which is phenomenal. So not only does it allow them to schedule, but it also puts it into their calendar. It shows up inside of Autotask. It shows up inside of Outlook, because we have the two-way sync going on, and we can always see where the techs are, where they're scheduled at, how they're scheduled, how much time they're scheduled. And if TimeZest can see that one of my guys is scheduled a lot more than somebody else, it'll actually pick another tech to throw that appointment into, which works out really well.
All right.
So that's a really nifty tool. And I just started that one not too long ago. Another MSP turned me on to that, and that worked out pretty well. Do you want to talk about backup?
No.
Okay. We'll skip that one.
And I will say this in fairness. I just sent two more cancellations to Datto, so that's why I don't want to talk about
it. It's fine. We don't need to. It's just more a matter of, I mean, we started out with all kinds of different stuff. And I know we had talked about this at length, and we had our own little homebrew thing going on for a while. And it's great if you can find something that works for you. And that's fantastic. Everybody's stuff is different. And the only other thing that I think is worth mentioning, we've been doing a lot of data migration, whether it's from on-prem to cloud or from cloud to cloud, back and forth and around there. We've seen one client with one tenant that is not in a strict Microsoft tenant that, for whatever reason, moving data inside their tenant just doesn't go well. Like, you try to pick it up and move it, and it's like, yeah, okay, it moves about half of it, and then it just kind of leaves the rest of it sit. I don't know what's going on with that. So that's just using, you know, either Mover or the integrated Move tool inside of SharePoint. We found something called rClone. It's an open source tool, works really, really well. It actually does a copy. So it takes it from point A to point B and like double checks that everything moved, that we have everything, that everything is the same from point A to point B, and then sticks it in point B. So that's worked out really well too. So there you go. There's a couple things.
All right. We're going to have to come back and revisit some of these and go in depth, because I have questions, but I don't want us to go on all night.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
What I'll have you do is, if you can make a copy of that list, send it to me.
A copy of a list.
I will try to do my best to get all the links to what we discussed, and especially the one you mentioned, the Gusto, for people that want to do that. If you want to either have them contact you, or you want to put the link in the show notes, they can just grab it and go from there.
And one thing I will say about that, it's not just payroll. They do a lot of other HR things that if you don't literally want to deal with HR, they can help you out with that as well. So there's different levels to what they're able to do for you.
You just
use them for payroll.
So let me ask one question to kind of sum all this up, as we talked about evolution from when you guys started.
I'm so proud of myself that I like stuck to the outline this time.
You did. And if you had been patient, I would have given you props at the end. But now I'm going to take them back.
That's fine. Take them. Whatever.
So everything's a journey. And in terms of looking back, when you were making that list and looking at all the twists and turns that you did, is there something that, you know, giving advice to your younger self or to somebody who's starting their journey, what would you tell them based on what you've shared with us tonight?
I mean, obviously, we took a wrong turn at Albuquerque at one point. But other than that, I think even though our ConnectWise experience was not the best it could have been, I think we learned a lot of things. One, we learned what we didn't like. We learned what didn't work for us. We learned what did work for us too, because there were some parts of it, like the ticketing system, while I think it's a little clunky and it's a little old and the UI looks a little old and things like that, it worked. So we know that like the ticketing system works. The process is really good. The documentation is really good to have. The knowledge base is really good to have. It just, that particular setup wasn't the best one for us. So we found one that was. And I mean, literally our guys rock and roll in Autotask all day long. So it's really good to see this is where we came from. It wasn't the best one for us, but this one is, and we can see that. And I think everybody's going to find that with no matter what tool that they go into. There's probably somebody that used Autotask and was like, that was terrible. We went to ConnectWise and this is fantastic. So like I said, it's everybody has a different journey, just because, you know, the one that I laid out here may not be the one for you, and that's totally fine.
Well, I describe it the same way that people have with, you know, cars and, you know, real tools and stuff like that. You know, not everything's 100% for everybody.
Yep.
So what works for one may not work for the other. And I'm in the school where I don't change easy once I find what's working for me and what works for me, what works for my clients. So I don't go through a lot of the changes. Now, when something goes bad, yeah, it's time to bolt.
Yep, exactly.
But I do know that this was, I think, very good, because the listeners are going to, you know, they're not only just going to hear about products, they're going to hear about what the process was. You know, when you made a switch, it was time to switch. You know, was it scale, the number of endpoints? You needed something to run better, to do better. that sort of stuff. And that's what we all need to plan for at some point. You can't use the same tool for 20, 30 years in this industry.
I wish that were the case. I mean, sometimes you get one that's, you know, even AV stuff. I mean, you look at, you know, antivirus has come a long way in the last, 3 years, let alone the last 10 years. I mean, and you look at, I mean, we look at different products probably twice a year on that stage as far as that goes. And the same thing with, I mean, MDR is something that's come out in the last couple of years. It's gotten really good with what it can do and what it can't do and things along those lines. So I think the lesson is really to just always be on the lookout for the things that suit your particular MSP the best. And when, I mean, and you don't necessarily need to be looking for change all the time, but making sure that you have the right tool for you.
Yeah. So we had a call yesterday. We used to sell AVG for Business.
Oh, we did too. Way back in the day. Yeah.
And we got away from that. And so we have, they're no longer a client, but they still call us because they, you know, they're small. They're really not a candidate for managed services. They're going to be break fix for somebody. I'm waiting for it to be somebody else, but right now it's still us. So they called yesterday because she did an update to AVG and it broke her network connection.
Ouch.
And I so wanted to say, why are you still using AVG? Because we tried to switch them to what we were using at the time. This was 3 or 4 years ago. We tried to switch them and they were like, no, we're good. I'm like, no, you're not. But it was funny. But yeah, it was just, you know, and back in the day, AVG for Business, for me,
that was amazing stuff. Yeah.
Was the bomb. Geez. I could resell it and make money. I could almost centrally manage it.
Yeah. 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then Webroot came along. And then some other things came along and then some other things came along. Yeah. And I mean, things change day to day in this industry. And like I said, it's just about being nimble and being able to pivot, even though I hate that word. We've used it so much in the last year, but it's true. At the end of the day, I mean, you do have to be willing to find the next best thing and kind of really watch what's coming down the line.
Yep. That is true. All right. Well, Ms. Sizer, I want to thank you
for
doing this and coming so prepared, very prepared. And I am going to reward you by not making you choose to challenge Florida Man or answer a random question. How do you feel about that?
I have a Florida Man story picked out. So,
oh.
I told you I came prepared.
You did. My goodness. So I guess I need to offer you the opportunity to tell your Florida Man story.
Yeah, sure. So, no, I picked this one like right out of the news, and I was usually like, you know, Florida Man, blah blah, crocodile, blah blah, meth. But choose your story that goes with that. but Florida Man accidentally. Well, actually, Florida Town accidentally sold Water Tower to Florida Man for $55,000. So I figured that was pretty good.
So I usually have two stories ready to go.
Yes!
that was the other option I had for the Florida Man story.
That was a totally good Florida Man story. I don't know that I have another one. But
no, that's fine. So which article do you have? Tell the details as to.
So I have the NPR one. Is that the one that you pulled?
Actually, yes.
Okay. So the details were business owner Bobby Reed, because, you know, business owners are usually called Bobby, approached the city council about purchasing a municipal building at the base of a small Florida city's water tower. He didn't expect the water tower to actually come with it. So now he was in possession of the town's water supply. And you want to, you know, throw out the Toy Story line of you've poisoned the water hole. But he discovered the mistake, which Florida Man is not known to do. After the property has been sold to him, he noticed it on the deed that the water tower actually came with it, contacted the city council essentially and said, hey, by the way, do you realize you sold the town's water supply along with this little building. And they're like, no, oops, maybe we could get that back. And he's like, yep, sure, no problem. I'll just sign that back over to you. So
yeah,
the anti-Florida man.
And what's funny is it cost the town $10 to get it back.
I mean, it was only $10. So, you know, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, but it was funny the fact that, one, that he said anything.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have just held on to it and said, well, we'll see if they notice. And, you know, if it goes unnoticed for too long, they'll have to pay to get it back, right?
Right, right. Well, in true Florida man style, he could have called up Nestle and been like, hey, I've got a water tower to sell you. Yeah. And they would have been all over that.
Yep. So, see, you did a very good job. Not only did you come prepared, you picked a good Florida man story.
Right?
Look at you.
Man. This is like the only time this is going to happen ever. So.
I'm going to need to send you a big Podnuts Pro golden star to hang up on your wall back there.
Totally.
So that'd be great. All right. Well, Don, let's go ahead and end off the show here. And we've gone a little long, so I don't know if we're going to hang out too much for the post show. So if anybody is still watching and if we come back after the break, you're welcome to pipe in and hang out with us. This would be about the time we would have an adult beverage, but we'll see how that goes. I should let everybody know that the Summer Tech Series continues next week. And this is going to be a little different type of a show. So the gentleman that I'm going to have on is named Jim Collison. He has a podcast that he hosts called Home Gadget Geeks. And it is a show that he started a while back, and it was all about home gadgets. And he does talk tech. He does talk other things as well. So I thought this would be a good summertime show to reward the listeners, because one thing that I am not is your typical gadget geek. I do not have anything automated in my home. I have no smart stuff there. And people are always making fun of me for my non-Star Wars knowledge and the fact that I, you know, no Siri, no, who's the other one? Siri.
Oh, Alexa.
No Alexa. None of that. I don't do any of that. Jim is all about this type of stuff. So it'll be a show that if you want to get your geek on with gadgets, he will be the man. And if you head over to podnutspro.com, I probably haven't promoted this enough, but on the homepage of podnutspro.com, I will put up a video of a podcast or a show that I was on for somebody else. I was on Jim's show back on June 5th. Home Gadget Geeks, episode 492. So if you want to head to that, I've got a link to the YouTube video. If you head over to his page, you can download the audio, or if you have a podcast player on Apple Podcast or Google, you can go to Home Gadget Geeks and get that there. But episode 492 is me with Jim Collison, and he will be on next week in a continuing episode of the Summer Tech Series. I want to thank my host tonight, Dawn, for hanging out. Were you going to say something there? Or?
No, I'm just throwing the Gusto link into the chat so you have it.
Oh, beautiful. If you do that, let me then transfer it over here. Copy, and this will be...
If I don't do it now, I'm just going to forget, and that'll be the end of that.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to put it into the live chat, so... if people may get it directly from either the Facebook or the YouTube page as they're watching, it'll be there. Of course, it will be in the show notes. And that is going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. Again, thank you to Don Sizer, Third Element Consulting, for hanging on and doing the show with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me. This was a blast.
All right. And folks, as I mentioned, we're here every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. live on YouTube and the Facebook. Head over to podnutspro.com to check out any past episodes or subscribe to any of the audio podcast link. So that is going to do it. I'm waiting for my screen to do this thing so that I can say Thank you for listening, for downloading and subscribing. And until next time, holla.